Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
I like having fun. I like to laugh. I like to meet people who can make
a lot. Hey guys,
I like having fun.
Oh really?
I like having fun.
Well,
good morning.
It is July, apparently 17th, 10.05 a.m. here. Sorry, we're starting a few minutes late. Glendale, California, where it is hot. Oh, it's so damn hot, but we're going to power through. We have a poorly working air conditioner here. Apologies to everybody in the room. We are live, and I have with... No, that's fine. Go.
All right.
Go. Go wild. Get it out.
He was doing the horns.
I did the horns.
That's a beautiful.
You're not gonna get me down this morning. I couldn't be happier because in the studio, right in to the left of me in my peripheral vision. I'm gonna try to use big words with you guys today. It seems like that might impress you.
Like,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Peripheral vision. Profiteroles. Profiteroles.
Delicious.
Let's write a song called Profiteroles Man. They might be giants, boy. Are here. Can you believe it? What is happening? I'm setting a note. Note to myself. Message to myself from the year 19. It's a brand new record. 1990. Dear Tim. You will grow up to be a big boy, big man. You will have children.
What?
You will have great success and appear in the movie Bridesmaids. No lines.
Jim Apple.
And you will have an unpopular podcast.
Oh.
And one of your guests will be Marc Maron.
Now I'm getting excited.
One of your other guests will be your childhood heroes.
Huh? Tim.
They might be giants. John Flansburg, John Linnell.
Yes. Tim.
Linnell?
Tim.
Linnell.
Tim. Here we are. My dreams have come true, Vic. Let me welcome them. A good day. And you have asked to
good
not
day.
Speak on the show. And, well, you are. No music from you today, though. Sometimes we have bands come in. They bring
We could have brought some instruments for you. We didn't.
Shit. We got plenty here, but you're a left-handed guitar player.
I am a left-handed guitar player.
Does that mean you're a lefty?
I'm full on left everything.
Okay. Yeah. I'm a lefty.
Yeah.
But I play the guitar right-handed.
Oh, really?
Didn't you hit
the... I bat left. I do everything lefty except the music.
Distinct advantage in that department.
Yes. I've recently been playing softball.
Oh, really?
Having great success.
Crushing it.
Yeah.
Crushing it.
Learning about... When to wait? I would swing through it a lot, but when I connect, it goes the distance.
Nice. They usually put the worst player in the right field, so they're you put them to work a little bit, right?
Hello.
Yeah.
Well, let me welcome my collaborators, my conspirators, Doug Lusenhop.
Good morning.
And Victor Berger.
Hello, everybody.
These guys are like, get me out of here.
What did they walk into?
And Captain Carlin is here. We were off last week, and I was in. You ever spend any time in Miami Beach? You guys are probably
sure,
Miami Beach guys.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Not as much as they wanted us to.
No.
Were you at a beautiful hotel?
Not so much.
Oh, really?
It was okay. It was like a Airbnb, but you know they have these Airbnbs that are just hotels. Or it's like somebody has an Airbnb account and they have a deal with the hotel, so you think you're getting an Airbnb, but you end up at a hotel.
Oh, crazy.
You don't see the photo of where you were
going? I do know that before, before I make that decision.
Right, right.
But somehow it's in the Airbnb world. So it was like a block off the strip, and it was fine. I have to tell you, their Wi-Fi. I wrote a review of the...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Can you read it?
Probably could.
Well, what is summarize.
I mean, the deal was, and this is a lame thing to be complaining about in Miami Beach, Wi-Fi was trash. Computer. It was like 256K modem Wi-Fi.
Right, right. Right. Sure.
Which I just think that should be a baseline standard.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, at a hotel.
In your line of work, it seems like you might need some bandwidth.
I need to connect.
Yeah.
I need to watch stuff.
Yeah.
And then the TVs. Do you know this thing? Do you stay in a lot of hotels, I guess, when you're on the road?
Sure. Yes, absolutely.
And they've got, and this is the most hacky comedy observation, but the smoothing setting on the TV.
Oh, yeah. That drives me crazy. Yeah,
what's going on?
It's awful. Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm trying to watch the first Mission Impossible, which was just on TV. So right. I watched that, and it looked like this bad soap opera.
Absolutely, yeah. And does anyone actually like it, or was it just like a non-choice?
Is everyone just going along with it?
Yeah.
Right, yeah. So what it's doing is it's making the video black of the screen really hard. You guys know this world, right? Like
Doug might know it.
It's a frame rate thing.
It's the frame rate.
Films are supposed to be 24 frames, and this makes it like 60.
They're basically interpolating all the frames,
right?
And then it looks like video.
For what? Yeah. Is it for sports? I think maybe
it's for sports.
Probably
it's for sports.
Yeah.
It's cool like that.
Sports.
And there's no way to there's no way to change the setting. I tried. They locked that out.
Awful.
And then I watched.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's purgatory.
And yeah. I watched The Office, the Steve Carell, The American Office. It's a kind of a nice, like, relaxing end of the day kind of thing to watch. And that looked, I mean, it looked like a home. It looked like a student film.
It's so weird. Yeah, I mean, maybe the people who came up with it just see things with different eyes. But everybody who's at least our age,
it's appalling.
Looks at it and it looks cheap.
The word is appalling.
Yeah.
Well, I can make an even smaller complaint.
Please.
About modern televisions.
Yes. Now we're into it.
All right. So this is the thing. If you get, like, I'm not sure what brand it is. It might be LG, but the actual remote control, you hit the button and it's like,
it plays the music.
And it's like, what? But it takes so long to change from one channel to the next. Like,
yes.
How are we going backwards?
We're going
on this?
Backwards.
How are we going backwards on this, people? It's like, you know, it's like, no, it's like change. Like, that's what you want out of a remote.
Here's
another
thing.
You're not browsing.
You want to get granular here? You want to get granular?
Yes. Oh, yeah, let's get all grains.
Okay.
Down to the grains.
You get into a hotel, you turn on the TV. All I want to do is, like, watch. Like maybe a little cable news, just to like stuff, very passive watching kind of stuff. Maybe
apologizing for being a person who watches TV. Just like you don't have to explain.
That's true. Like most people understand the concept of just watching TV.
Well, no, but I mean, but you know, it's like,
but then if you turn the TV off, go back in, you're back on that main menu.
Right.
Right.
All the time.
Yeah.
So you got to go search for your channel again,
right.
And it doesn't just turn back on to what you were just watching.
Yeah. You got to cut off the umbilical cord.
Also, I think the housekeeper, and I love workers, and I love the blue collar and everything. I think they shat in our bed. It was either me, my wife, or them. I can't be sure. But somebody took a big dump under the covers.
That seems to be worse than all the TV stuff.
I should have led with that. Is that what you're saying, John?
Right.
Okay, all right.
Right.
Let's do this. Let's wrap the show up.
Three-star review.
I did go 3 stars.
Really?
That's what I
went with. Let's take a call.
Because I want to be fair. I'm not gonna just 1-star Karen this place.
Right.
I'm going like, I thought it was pretty good. It's a good hotel. It was nice, close to the beach. It was reasonably priced. But here's some creative criticisms, some notes. Anyways, we're moving on. I'm being told by Wes, our Patreon is active right now, patreon.com/officehourslive. If I could plug my tour very quickly.
Please.
All due respect. You know how it works.
All the dates.
Not all the dates. I will say that my tour begins next Thursday. Next Wednesday.
Where are you planning on Thursday?
Los Angeles, the Moroccan Club. It's what we call a warm-up show in the US. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
You gotta shake off the dust.
Los Angeles.
Try a couple of new tunes, Vic.
Oh, I would like that.
And then we're off, and we start in Monterey. You ever play Monterey? I think it's a big mistake.
Monterey is like
Monterey, yeah. California. Mexico.
We did the TED conference.
Yeah, that's right.
Monterey.
Oh, okay.
That's the only time we've been.
It was a disaster.
Oh, really? I want to hear more
yes.
about that.
Yes.
But the big news with the Monterey show is we've added a couple of acts. We've got Jimi Hendrix, The Who, Mamas and Papas,
Otis Redding,
Ravi Shankar, Otis Redding, The Blues Project,
Simon and Garfunkel.
Simon and Garfunkel.
But they won't show up on the film.
What is with that?
I think maybe their set was kind of crummy. I don't know. They've been ghosted from the whole thing.
That's true. Like it never happened. Same with the Grateful Dead at Woodstock, correct? I don't think they're in the movie.
They're not in the movie, no.
But they played
at Woodstock.
Yeah, and band did as well.
Wow. And what happened there?
There was too much Sha-na-na. They had to... Sha-na-na did that big extended set.
Right. You got to get the jams with Sha-na-na. Yeah.
Can you believe that Sha-na-na was at that Woodstock?
Well, it's interesting to think that the idea of Sha-na-na was considered a fresh breeze.
Yeah.
But, so was, Sly and the Family Stone. Like, nobody ever seen anything that sort of circus...
It was also kind of like Sha-na-na was the first wave of nostalgia of rock and roll.
Right.
There was really no...
But of incredibly recent rock and roll. Yeah. When you look at it now, it's like...
It'd be like an NSYNC or a Backstreet Boys.
It was less than 10 years, I think, since that
rock and roll started. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they're doing doo-woppy stuff, which was the first stuff that was... Right, so it's like 50...
It was I guess it was 50s, but
57.
Yeah, it was music that had not 10, fully gone extinct.
Later, there.
It was like pre-Elvis.
Yeah. And then you've got... Well, then sort of Frank Zappa was doing that too, right?
That's right.
Yeah. That was his roots music.
You like Frank Zappa?
We were just talking about Frank Zappa the other day.
We were talking about the shame of having ever liked Frank Zappa. I think
now we're going to be friends. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. I mean, because there's some very good things about him, and then there are things about him that are actually, were toxic then and feel super toxic now.
Oh, yeah. Does not age well.
Yeah. If you really want to, burrow down on reasons to not enjoy Frank Zappa, listen to his Terry Gross interview, because he is,
See, I liked him in high school. He had this book out that I thought was great. It was like a book about politics and free speech and all that. Because he was like a big free speech activist.
Right, that was his sort of last act.
He'd be very anti-woke right now. He'd be like Bill Maher. He'd be up there.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah,
Wake up.
I think this is my big theory. I think John Lennon would be a big Trump guy.
What is the what is the virus that gets into these contrarian dudes that as they get older they turn into like the worst version of the guy down the street?
Total grumpy old men syndrome, right?
Yeah.
Just like this isn't the how I remember it.
Yeah.
This isn't the how I remember it.
Yeah.
I remember in high school also going to the record store and going through the Frank Zappa section. And it'll be like 40 CDs with the same cover. It's like his, him at Oakland, 1982.
One, I love two. Records.
Can I finish my promo here?
Starting off, then you're going to
Monterey. I don't want to give all the dates. I will say these are the dates where the tickets are becoming very low. This low ticket alert situation?
Yeah, sure.
The joke is that means there's a low amount of tickets sold. It's quite the opposite. It's not that kind of low. So San Diego's getting low. New York City, Webster Hall. It's a classy joint. Maybe you guys want to come.
It's like a disco.
Easy.
Some of it.
I think they have different nights.
Okay.
New Haven, Connecticut. Buffalo.
Where in New Haven?
College Street Musical.
Oh, that's a great venue.
You heard it first. Royal Oak. Royal Oak? That's actually Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nashville is sold out. That's City Winery. Booking us at City Wineries now, which I don't know.
I think that happens.
Like where Nora Jones would play.
Yeah, it is. It is.
It's a little weird for the performer because everybody's facing sideways and eating and drinking wine and stuff.
Like your Hollywood Bowl show.
A bit like the Hollywood Bowl show, yeah.
And then St. Louis. Everything else, we got some work to do.
We're in St. Louis.
We got to start promotion.
All right, I'll call
The Pageant.
Pageant.
You're playing the Pageant?
Aren't you surprised?
That's fantastic.
Yeah, great.
That's
venue.
A big room.
Oops.
It's 2,500 people.
Well, we've sold 48 tickets.
There you go. Come on out.
Yeah.
No, that's a blast.
I'm beloved in the Midwest.
Oh, good.
The South, we've got work to do. I think Northern California. Who's in Monterey?
The TED conference.
I would say Bay Area come down. That could be a way to sort of open it up to a larger audience.
Did you guys give a presentation at the TED Talk, or did you?
We performed, but we were the very first act at the third day after the huge blowout beach party the night before, and it just was awful.
So everyone was hungover.
The real secret is we all could imagine what it would be like to play for people who are hungover, but imagine playing for full-grown adults who are hungover for the very first time.
These are incels?
It was really like that. It was really just like, you could just tell that there was just like,
And then, you know, I mean, listen, I've stated before, big fan, big, big fan. Hangover music, it's not.
No. And also
you got to give you that, right?
Sure.
And I made a joke that we've actually played library, conferences.
Right, right.
And
cotton balls in the air.
Right. And this was like the earlier show than that.
Like earlier in the day.
Yeah, it was like 9 in the morning.
What the fuck?
I know.
Who's doing that?
It was
it was awful.
And then did you speak or you just played?
We just played, but they ask you to do something you've never done. We just went, but we did all the things they asked of us. And they say, like, don't give your stock speech. Like, do something you've never done
before. Make up something new, which we did.
Yeah.
Which we came up, we actually came
up
with.
Do you have a stock speech?
We have raps that we do and right. We have a normal show. But we came up with this new thing, which was because the amazing Randy had been to TED and was basically bitching about all these ridiculous claims of supernatural things that other people had made. He had offered $1 million to anyone who could communicate with the dead.
Ah, yes. And he's this guy, just for context, he's like the skeptic.
He's the skeptic.
The guy that knows all the tricks.
But also a magician, understands the craft. And so that was that had been his legacy at TED, actually. And so we came up with a thing where we're trying to communicate with the dead. We made up a song, and that became part of our show. It was like we had for like years. We were doing this.
Any success?
Phone calls from the dead.
Phone calls from the dead.
Oh right, of course.
Yeah. So there was a song, and I forget who was
Emily Dickinson.
Yeah. It was a lot of people. We
Hickory Dickory Dock.
what are you, Andrew Dice Clay?
That was Emily Dickinson calling.
Oh, let's do this. Let's use my radio voice. God, first of all, what was the song you did last night with the swing band stuff with the horns?
That was like a third of the show.
No.
With the conducting. Oh, Spy.
Oh, yeah.
Spy.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
God, that was fun.
Thank you.
I mean, everybody was having a blast.
Hi, this is DJ Doug Pound in your mix to let you know that you can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's Delicious Meals. Factor is fresh and never frozen, chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Veggie, or most importantly, Vegan. Of course, I signed up for vegan, and it was great. My favorites were the 3-bean chili and the tangy citrus tofu bowl. It's fast, easy, and delicious. I also like getting extra pep in my step with their wellness shots. The apple, lemon, ginger, cayenne. Oh, baby, that's a good spice right there. When you don't have time to cook or you just don't feel like it, Factor eliminates all the hassles of prepping, cooking, and cleaning up. So discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. Head to factormeals.com/officehours50 and use code officehours50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box. That's code officehours50 at factormeals.com/officehours50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
And now the horns.
The Sun Ra part, the record number nine was cool. You threw that.
Well recognized.
Well spotted.
Oh, these guys, Matt and Vic, were, oh, that's Sun Ra.
Tim's
right.
What?
Horns?
what was I going to say about that, Vic?
Talking about people eating?
No.
Oh, the horn. The
horn section, are those your normal guys? Are they?
Yeah.
He's in the Conan band?
Yeah, that's Mark Pender.
Mark Pender. Holy shit, when he comes out.
Oh, no, he can just stop the show all by himself.
Yeah.
You know, in like one note.
I knew it because sometimes you fly in for a show or something and you got to get some local guys.
Sure.
Charts, but
I guess in LA, it's the one place where people are going like, did Mark just drive from his house to here?
Yeah. He's in the audience.
Yeah.
Now Weird Al was up front.
I didn't see Weird Al.
Oh, you didn't? He was right up front.
Oh, wow.
Al Yankovic.
We're just waiting for him to hop up on stage. At least I was.
Let's take a Zoomer because I know people are chomping at the bits. I just wanted to make sure everything's working.
We're just getting in with Tom G. The city of. That was not me.
I didn't have my hand up, but yeah, what's up?
You might as well be walking on the floor. I thought you had a topic, Tom.
I didn't know you had me on.
All right, well, have a great day. Enjoy your week.
All right.
Good pick, Tom. Matt.
I guess you didn't know how the show works. He DM'd me. All right, Sam.
He DM'd you?
What? He DM'd
me. He said, I don't have anything to say.
Did I have a topic? You wanted to talk about the strike or something. Sam Hughes.
Hey there. Everybody.
Sorry, one sec. You're okay being here because you're not promoting anything. You're promoting your tour. You're not promoting a television show.
No, we're just hanging out.
Because we are on strike.
Absolutely.
And are you, you wouldn't be SAG.
We're both in SAG, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
I've whistled on television commercials.
that gets you in.
That gets you in.
My dad is in SAG because he is, at the end of all these shows that we produce, he's this, absolutely, it's a video of him. So he's in SAG. I don't know if he's going to strike down in Florida. So, sir, how are you? What's going on? How can I help you?
Doing well. I'm excited to see you in Baltimore in a few weeks. Super pumped. Bringing some friends out to that.
Apparently not a low ticket warning in Baltimore.
We are
playing Orioles Stadium. I
don't know. Yeah.
Just kidding.
I had a question for the crew, as well as big fans of They Might Be Giants. Seen you guys a bunch of times. With the sort of breadth of music you guys have, especially with Dial-A-Song and Venue Songs, how do you, when you have a time crunch, sort of push yourselves to continue writing music about stuff? I always have in awe of how you guys always are able to write different tunes. Yeah, definitely. If you guys could speak about that. And Tim, I'd love to hear your process too.
Well, I guess, so with the Venue Songs, that was we were constrained by having to write a song for each venue at the sound check. And so that was actually great because we were kind of like, well, we're going to let the quality slide possibly so we can get this. We were writing the song.
Yeah, sure.
And
sell it. John.
Yeah. Venue Songs turned out great, I thought.
Love them.
And they were, it was one song per gig, written at the sound check, performed live, and usually recorded at the show. But then normally we're pretty lazy, I would say. We just.
What is the, I'm going to interrupt because that's a good question. But it reminds me of this question, which is, what's the division of labor here?
Oh, we both write songs.
You obviously, everyone asks this, like, you know, somebody has to have the germ of a particular song.
Right.
But then do you get together and work on it together, or do you kind of have the song?
We mostly write individually.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there have been a few songs that we've collaborated on. And we have other ways of collaborating. Somebody writes a song, for example, and sends it to the sort of demo-y bits to the other guy, and you know
that inspires you to add something.
Yeah, like Flans has sent me drums, and I've put stuff on top of that, sent it back to him, and then he's written the song on top of that, or you know, so there's that kind of thing.
It's. I mean, there's definitely like a subset of songs that are like these open-ended collaborations, but it's often kind of more production-based, or even more like postal service style, where it's like we're not. I think in a certain way, I think we're actually still kind of like shy of each other, like in the, you know, actual, like they're
sitting
down at a piano and like just writing out verses and playing is not exactly a way that we were. I mean, we really started with drum machines and tape recorders, and so we're already in that kind
of realm. So I want to kind of get nerdy here, or I don't know, like get into the gear talk a bit, which is I don't know,
guys. Can we get some drops going?
I want to go back to the songwriting talk. If
gear talk.
We just did the songwriting talk. Were you listening to something else? Goodness. I mean, what else is there?
I don't know.
But well, we can get back to that.
Well, I was just saying, you get real. It's vulnerable to play something that you wrote for the other.
And absolutely.
Then you have to find that science of relationship to not hurt the other person. Kind of like
right. Exactly. No, we're even at this late age, we're still very sensitive to the other person's opinion.
Yeah.
And then in a way, that's also a strength for us because we sort of help edit each other's work,
Did you just say you don't want to hurt the other person?
Yeah, you don't want to hurt the other person.
Oh, by critiquing it.
Yeah, by critiquing it.
I thought you were saying you don't want to hurt somebody with your stinky work.
No, not saying the wrong thing.
How bad could it be?
Or that it's so great that person's going to feel like shit. Right.
I guess it's okay.
But I want to go back to like first few records. It's just the two of you.
Yeah.
And what... I don't know if this is... I think this is interesting. It's interesting to me. I don't know, and I think it'll be interesting to you guys, but, like, what are you working with back then? Like, up to Flood? Like, are you just the two of you on Flood? Or are you starting to work?
Yeah. All the way up through the fourth album, I think.
Apollo 18. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, but the basic thing is, when we started as a duo, we had a four-track tape recorder, and we did a lot of drum tracks... created on the four tracks of that tape recorder, like the kick drum would be like hitting your thumb against the mic, which is actually a pretty good kick drum sound,
right?
Which we discovered somewhere along there.
Whoa!
Yeah.
There you go.
And the snare would be like the John's Moog
synthesizer.
Just
nice.
And this is before drum. We started. We are so fucking old.
Yeah, that you really
we
are.
We started before there were drum machines. Drum machines came into the world during the first years of our being a band.
Matt, I want to fact check if these are.
Drum machines back in the 60s, right?
Can you stop?
There were like Lowry organ, like sort of percolator, like that. Yeah. Speaking of Sly Stone, like that thing. Those things existed, but the actual getting like the
right.
Going well, I guess the programmable
drum machine.
Yeah,
would be like the early 80s. But you're going back at what 82?
82 is when we started.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So
we couldn't afford whatever it was at that point. So,
yeah. Sure, right.
So we would sort of cobble these tracks together in all these various different ways, and we even had like a. We had a record called Drum Drops, but the one we had was like the fusion rock one from the junk store. So we actually made a couple of tracks that have like these crazy, like the most elaborate drum fills in like 5/4 time.
Yeah.
And they're just like crossing the bar line. And
are you just in your, paint the picture, are you in your apartment doing this?
We had this great apartment that we had a drum kit in at one point, and we could make all the noise in the world. We were up on the second floor or third floor, and we never got any noise complaints. One time some lady came, we were walking in the apartment, and this lady came up on the stoop and was like, "Are you the guys playing the drums?"
Yeah.
And it was like, "Well, I don't know what you're talking about, lady." Yeah. And he was like, "Well, whoever it is, they just make beautiful music."
Oh, that's nice.
It was just one of those things. Right. Like,
but that's New York.
That's like,
that's
wow.
New York.
It's like, you like the drum sound.
But what's crazy is you listen to Lincoln or Flood. These are beautiful sounding records. Like, they sound like you're in the studio. It sounds like you're in like the quality fidelity and everything is like top.
They were finished in the studio. Okay. All the sort of early production stuff was done at home. And I guess there were probably things that were entirely tracked at home, like on the first album anyway.
First album has a bunch of four track stuff. But we were trying to be as careful as possible and make stuff that would I guess the truth is like even though we're sort of like lo-fi by definition.
Yeah.
I think, we aspired to be, Steely Dan or something. We were careful about it. Like, we wanted it to sound as good as it could.
Did you hear the new Steely Dan song that came out? Roger Nichols, their producer, had a recording of a song that they overdubbed or overwrote
Lost track.
Yeah, it's so good. Second arrangement,
Just for the sake of historic gossip for the Steely Dan fans out there, we worked at River Sound, which was Donald Fagen's personal studio, his private studio, in East Harlem years and years ago, like during what, like the Factory Showroom and Beyond era. We did a lot of stuff there, and Donald Fagen's stuff is there. The house engineer worked with Donald Fagen, and you know, so I just sort of, you know, I couldn't help myself but just to quiz him about that stuff, and he was in the room when the thing got erased.
Oh man!
He said he wasn't specific, but he said multiple people were in the room were crying.
Oh no!
Oh wow!
Oh my god!
Because and I don't know it now. This seems like it couldn't possibly be true, but they're saying it was going to be like the lead track. Uh-huh. On the
Gaucho,
Is it Gaucho?
Gaucho.
Yeah, but I mean that was the album that it got erased from.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, why did they just re-record it though? What?
I think because I think the stuff took so long to do, and they were so crazy careful about stuff that they just didn't want to deal with it again.
Now speaking of Steely Dan, they're on tour right. Well, he's on tour right now as Steely Dan. Now let's say one of you pass.
Yeah.
Do we get They Might Be Giants?
We've
solo?
Had this discussion. We actually, please, in fact, we talked to a lawyer long ago about this. and I mean, I think
it'll
we
be
both,
Donald Fagen's They Might Be Giants.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, actually, he's going to go tour as They Might Be Giants.
Yeah.
That's what it'll be.
I think it's a little. Go ahead. What
well,
did they say?
Well, so basically, we hammered out this thing, probably in the '90s, with our agreement, which was, we can't no.
There's no They Might Be Giants without both of them.
It has to be both of us, yeah. Good. So that was the initial plan. And we kind of had to fight with the lawyer because she was like, you know, are you sure?
Yeah. We're leaving a lot of money on the table. People don't care.
But the one thing that was weird is that when we sort of re-examined it and cracked it open like 3 years ago, it was also like it sort of basically stopped all business under the name They Might Be Giants,
including
making any kind of like, secondary, you know, like a compilation album or releasing anything else.
Re-releasing anything.
Or like selling tickets. Or selling t-shirts or
that's
selling.
That's a problem.
Yeah. So we had to get more specific about what it
can't
was.
Can't you do Giants
passes,
and Company?
Let's say, right. Giants and Company.
Right.
There has to be a way for the entity to continue to generate.
Exactly,
The way it was like, you know, set up before, we couldn't have like a new t-shirt design. We couldn't have the in memoriam.
Right. Yes.
T-shirt well, design.
You get into like a...
Fundraising for the funeral expenses.
Yeah.
You get into a Yoko and Olivia Harrison kind of situation where you got to run everything by your spouse and family.
Well, the idea of separating the ownership, which would go to the estate, with the control over the thing. Those are two different things.
Right.
You know, and these are things that we hadn't really thought through.
Can I go back to Don Fagen first? Don Fagen.
You're the first person who's ever gone to the job.
Donnie Fagen.
Yeah.
Donald Trump, Donald Fagen. This is such a sidebar, but there's a great memoir he wrote. Did you read it? Or it's even better to listen to it.
Okay.
That's called, Eminent Hipsters.
Now,
first half of it is kind of his childhood growing up, like getting into sci-fi and jazz, and it's okay. But the second half, all the second half is his tour diary from this, what's the band that he was in, Matt, that's not...
The New York Blues like, and Soul Revue.
Yeah. it's his tour diary of that summer tour he did. And for guys that have
Nightfly.
Been...
Nightfly.
Wasn't no, it's not. Oh, it's okay. Him and like Michael McDonald and some other guys that tour and do like old... soul music.
Right.
Yeah. Holy shit. It is... If you... You guys are on the road a lot. You guys know the road. It's the best road memoir ever.
Uh-huh.
It's so funny.
Cool.
He's so miserable the whole time.
Right.
He hates it.
But he's a very witty guy.
He's
right?
very like, witty. Yeah, it's very entertaining.
Yeah, yeah.
So Eminent Hipsters audiobook. Highly recommend to everybody. Including you. There's Michael McDonald.
I would assume you guys have a massive vault, still going, a vault of tracks that have never...
No, they put it all out.
I know, you put a lot out, but I'm assuming, like, do you worry that, like, demos and stuff that you don't want people to hear are going to, like, come out when you guys...
I'm more worried about the all the deep fakey type stuff.
I feel like has there been a deep fake They Might Be Giants
song yet? Not yet, but I feel like that's when we're gone. It's like going to be all that, right? Like all the
AIB Giants,
because that's what's happening. AIB Giants. Yeah.
I just read there was this movie called Entertainment that Neil Hamburger is in that came. Everyone watching knows what this movie is, but
stars in it,
huh?
He stars in it.
A review of it came out. This is from the movie's from like 8 years ago or whatever, 6 years ago, 8 years ago, and this review came up on some website called, listen to the name of this website. This pertains to AI, by the way. The website is called Business News, biz.crast.net.
So clever, so clever. Biz,
yeah, it's one of these like, you know, clickbait. I don't know if you could see this. Like, just a, like, this a site you'd never want to ever be on.
Right.
And I'm reading this review, and it's scary because I think it's AI. I think it's fully AI.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
But it's so full of detail and, you know, stuff from the movie that it's spooky. It's like I can't tell if it's it could be written by a person, but it's spooky out there.
I feel like when you had your car crash... Oh, there were articles written by AI that were so weird. It was a slightly more primitive time, I guess, for that. But they were so oddly written, and some of them were just surrealist. You know, like
I could see what's happening with you, John. You're trapped on my screen.
What am I?
You're peeking at my notes.
These are reading glasses. Okay. I can't
see that far.
Yeah, I can't see that far.
Matt, we have to do City of the Day real quick. City of the Day is sponsored by, and this is exciting, a new innovation here. We always have a commercial that was sponsored the City of the Day, and we are offering discounts for companies out there, advertisers, to advertise with us, and we have a great discount now. Now, the reason it's discounted is because Vic Berger will be doing the ad read.
Now I'm getting excited.
So, Vic, take it away.
Today's sponsor is Cauliflower the Kooky Clown on Call. Cauliflower the Kooky Clown on Call is the world's first and only telephone clown. Are you in need of good clowning, but your local clown isn't available until the weekend? You can call Cauliflower. Do you find yourself bored making small talk with coworkers and crave a deeper conversation about balloon animals or hijinks and pratfalls? You can call Cauliflower. He's ready at the spur of the moment to entertain you over the phone exactly when you need him. Dial him up, sit back and relax, set the speakerphone to 11, and then listen to his clown show. You'll hear him make funny clown sounds, like his trademark raspy belly laugh. He'll play a slide whistle and honk his horn into the receiver to lift your spirits. His oversized clown shoes are music to the ears of clown lovers as he tap dances to his audience of one. You, Cauliflower, might even toot a few tunes on his kooky calliope if you ask him nicely. And because it's audio only, Cauliflower the Kooky Clown on Call will describe in details face paint design and his silly clothing so you can see Cauliflower in your imagination. Ask him anything about clownery or lay your troubles on him and he'll shoo them away using the power of clown humor. Call Cauliflower the Clown on Call for only 8 cents a minute. Dial 44444. Okay, and that's the end of it.
You bailed.
Yeah,
jumped
off
the board.
That's it.
Can I read mine, Owen?
Go ahead if you want.
No. We're moving on. Thank you to Cauliflower Clown for spending the $4.
Bronte, you're our...
So who is the city of the day?
Bronte.
Morning. Denizen.
Hello, Bronte.
Hello. City of the day is Seattle, Washington.
Ah, yes.
And I believe you had other topics and questions.
Yeah,
did
I have
you
a
not?
Question.
Reaching halt this
jump in, Bronte.
Thank you.
I'm just recovering from the commercial.
I know,
my stomach hurts from laughing.
Here we are. So, They Might Be Giants was my first live show ever when I was 8 years old.
Whoa.
She's 13.
At the EMP, Experience Music Project.
Oh, yeah. Seattle. Yep, mm-hmm. I remember that.
Changed my life. Fabulous. As an eight-year-old, it was the kid album. No.
Yeah.
Changed my life. Like, no joke.
For the worse or for the better?
Definitely for the better, although I did get very angsty and goth after that, so you might have awoken something in me. I'm not sure. But my question is, what is all of your first live shows you ever went to?
Very good question.
Right. Well, it depends on how you count. I when I was probably 8 years old, I saw a local production of Tommy's The Who in Concord, Massachusetts.
Wait, hold on. This was... Because I know they did like a Broadway version of that in the 90s. So obviously not that.
This was just like a little, somebody just like did the rock opera live in this very modest way. And it was the loudest thing I'd ever heard. I think I had a massive stomach ache afterwards.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, that counts.
Yeah.
I saw a band called The Eternal Lights at a local temple perform a very rock. They did a rock version of... If I Had a Hammer, a little bit tougher than what's his name's version, Trini Lopez's version, and they did and they played Indigata Davida, which was like kind of an interesting thing in a religious context. It made you think like, what are they driving at? These are some secret messages.
Yeah, in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Vic,
what was it? Well, Sharon Lois and Bram. I saw
who?
Sharon Lois and Bram. But you don't remember them?
No.
But I saw Green Day.
That was your first show?
Like my first show. Wow. Like I was in seventh grade. Yeah.
Way better than The Eternal Lights.
I broke up with my girlfriend in high school because she broke up with me because I went to see Green Day.
Really?
Instead of her high school musical.
Oh, man.
Well, that is like classic shit boyfriend behavior. <know.
laughs> You went to see Green Day?
Well,
I was in bright spirit.
You couldn't do both?
I couldn't. It was the same night. There was one night only for both. They didn't have a run of shows for that that musical. I think it was just it. I think it was on the rocks anyway. I don't think it was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Okay.
Doug, quickly with your...
My mom took me to see the Monkees in
1986. That's my first show.
The 20th anniversary tour. Right.
Wow.
That's why we are
actual crazy.
Wow.
We are actual
That
brothers.
Is crazy.
Wow.
The Monkees.
And yeah. I think like Herman's Hermits opened or something.
Uh-huh. Yeah, for me it was like Gary Puckett and
I think Younger. Maybe both of those bands were opening.
Yeah, Gary Puckett. How many watch lists is that guy on?
Excuse me?
Well, it's just like they're all just like, you know, every song is just more pervy than the last.
Oh, right.
Younger. What was his?
It's been the young girl, get out of my life.
What? My love for you is way.
Seattle. What was your name again?
Misty admits it.
Bronte.
I should. I realize I should watch what I'm saying. This will be seen by people.
Yes. Not too many though. Don't worry. Not enough.
Sorry.
To cause trouble.
I didn't say what I just said.
No, oh, that's fine.
Back to Flood for a sec. You're. I think I saw this or read it in an interview or something that the little fluke that happened with the Columbia Record House.
Columbia?
Did I make this up?
No, maybe not. We
think of the Beastie Boys?
No.
Flute?
I thought that Flood ended up on the Columbia Record House.
Many, many copies of it were sold from the Columbia Record House, yeah.
And
hundreds of thousands, actually.
Obviously, it's probably, it might be how, I don't know, I probably found it from 120 minutes.
Sure.
But I thought that. It was like, how did they pick which records were going to be on that list? Because
it was a pretty. I mean, I think they sold a fair number of things, but like in the flyer, that was just a way that they often tried to, you know, break bands. I mean, I'm sure Green Day was on the Columbia Records House later on. You know, it was just like new bands that had stuff,
a buzz going.
Yeah, yeah. It was like for curiosity seekers.
Do you guys listen to new music? Like any new artists, or is it kind of
a little bit? Yeah.
I'm just curious.
Quiz you.
I'm just curious. Is there anybody that you're into these days? Like who you listen to?
Oh, if I had my phone in front of me, I could rattle off some things.
Dua Lipa. Question.
I would say Flans is more au courant than I am. I'm usually hearing what he has to say. Oh, and I have a son who's 24, who is a great source information about new stuff, but. I've always been pretty out of it, actually.
What do you like? What's your like sweet spot? What do
you listen to? You know, I mean, I when
like
I'm driving, I listen
to jazz. Old.
I like listening to there's the 50s station and the 60s station, and those are the two. Those are like the main
On Sirius.
On Sirius,
that's what
yes.
we were listening
the
to
AARP
last
AARP station.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
AM Gold.
Yeah, yeah totally that.
Sirius?
Which is better, I think, on the weekends. It's more eclectic.
Cousin Brucey?
Don't call me
I haven't heard Cousin Brucey.
You don't know Cousin Brucey?
But I love the Neil Sedaka. The Neil Sedaka show is terrific.
Cool. Oh, really?
He's hilarious, yeah. Yeah.
The Cousin Brucey was like the AM guy in New York.
Oh, yeah. We remember
Cousin
Brucey.
Yeah. I think they just have audio of him that they've made into shows.
Sure, sure. Well, they play American Top 40 with Casey Kasem like in its entirety on certain radio stations. Yeah, like if you get into rural America, there's like some robot stations, and you can tell because if you know the names of the towns or anything, it'll be like, you know, like I live near a town called Monticello, and it'll be like, you know, you're listening to W Robot Fake Out, you know, going out to Monticello.
Yeah.
And you're just like, you're not right here.
What was the name of that national syndicated radio company that you just get piped in? It was
Muzak.
Not Muzak. Matt, help.
Yeah.
Oh,
sure.
Not Radio One.
It's like, kind of like Westwood.
Westwood One.
Westwood One.
Oh, right.
It's me, Casey.
There's a great. They found their Casey Kasem drops.
Yeah. Hey, can we explore the deep world of drops? Can we have a drop off? Can you two play the most unplayed drops of this show? Just back and forth, challenge each other.
Let's do it. Mini drop concert.
Like two,
right here.
Two DJs that
go into the back of the record bin, deep cut style. Uh-oh.
Who's going to kick it off? Total silence.
You know what happens? They freeze up. They get sleep.
And
they
get scared.
Josh.
Hey, everyone.
No.
Hey, everyone.
Fuck, man.
That is cool.
Hey, everyone.
They need to warm up a little bit.
Yeah, we're still working on it, but.
What's that loop you have going on?
You got something?
What's your least played drop?
There's no way to. They don't count up plays.
Right. Like, John Flansburgh came in here. And he was trying to wrap his head around these drops. He didn't understand why we would have. No, you did understand why.
No,
we would
No, I think it's fascinating. I mean, just like the sonic. Mm.
Was there a chaos pad up on your
yes,
stage?
Yes, yes.
You see that?
I'm just a human being, and I go to the bathroom like everybody else.
Sit down when you pee, like a good little girl.
All right. Do you want to play? How about this
pad? Right. It was like.
How about this?
Was it this one?
It is that one, I think. Yeah.
How about you try this? There's an alternate version of this. You try to stump these guys with drops. So they'll play a drop, you try to identify.
Oh, okay. I'm already stumped. Okay.
Stump. You mean a drop? A drop?
We're really getting victimized by some censorship right now.
Mr. Pillow guy? No.
That's a good guess.
I know who that
was. We're really getting victimized by some censorship right now. I don't get it. I mean, I really don't get it.
Oh, Dr. Phil?
Very good.
Okay. Yes. Ding, ding, ding.
There it is. There
All
it
right,
is.
Doug, your
All
turn.
Right. If I ever get married, I have to go off to the woods of Africa and find me some crazy, naked zebra bitch.
Eddie Murphy.
How about...
it smells so good of all that cheese.
I'm doing old drops.
What's her name? The cook of Joe Child.
Well, I was a little tiny kid.
Okay. Correct. I'm just so
slow. If you're waiting for a hug, you might want to pack a lunch.
Go ahead.
Did you hear it?
Doug.
If you're waiting for a hug, you might want to pack a lunch.
I don't know. David Spade.
There it is.
You got it. Okay.
David Spade. I rode in an elevator with David Spade once.
How was that? Good elevator?
Nice, great guy.
How many floors did you get to ride with him?
Like 7.
Okay.
He lived in my girlfriend's building.
Where do you guys? You guys are New York City guys?
Pretty much, yeah.
You got a place upstate. Got to.
Yeah, Sullivan County.
Yes.
Where I'm.
We actually have places on opposite ends of the Catskills, and what we've discovered is we can't drive between the two houses because
if there's a mountain range,
you have to go down.
You have to go back to New York.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
How much time do you spend together when you're not working?
Virtually none.
I am with Eric, all my partners.
No, it's weird. I mean, being in this band has been great, but it's been terrible for our friendship.
Yeah. You know. I would dispute that. I think we have a very solid working relationship, and when we live together, I think we'd occasionally start to irritate one another, and we've solved that problem.
Right.
You know.
But you're not far gone like a
You could have washed a dish.
Yeah. You're not like Mick and Keith where you have separate, like, you're like, don't talk before you're on. You
know. We cry and hug each other before shows. Yeah. I mean,
what's your road life like? What's the routine?
I mean, you know,
I want the granular shit.
John does a lot more like stuff in the world than I can do. Like I just feel like if I can just keep my laundry clean and do my show, like that's it.
Well, but the other thing is John does a lot of prep work for the show. He does the set list.
Now we're getting into the division of labor.
Yeah. No, there is definitely a division of labor, and Flans is the. He is the hardest working man in They Might Be Giants.
Listen, that's beautiful. Great. Nobody says nice things about
you.
You
were
like
carrying your mic stand around last night at all.
That's a great move.
I've never seen that before.
Mic stand goes where you want it to go.
Yeah.
We've never seen that before.
Oh, yeah.
As an artist.
Yeah.
So
you're so he's doing the work.
So
you're out there
he's
going,
got the package.
Going to the museums and stuff.
He went to art school. He does the designs. All the album covers and everything have been vetted by Mr. Flansburgh. I'm just like the content guy, basically. I'm like, you know, I'm in the back
room. You're
the
heartthrob.
As somebody said in Gigantic, I think, like I'm like the guy in the tool shop, you know, like.
You're the eccentric weirdo, but you're both the eccentric weirdos.
Well, yeah, I think I'm gonna make.
But what? That's a compliment.
I'm gonna
to
embarrass
me.
John, but I think he's like the visionary, you know. And
does this make you uncomfortable to get these kind of compliments?
He looks uncomfortable. I've been waiting my whole life.
Yes, that's what I want to hear.
No, I mean, I think that.
Well, I think that's a very nice thing to say.
See, I was explaining that because I was just on vacation with my wife and family, various family members. And I've realized I don't really like vacation. When you've toured,
that's a very adult man thing to not be able to go on vacation.
Yeah,
I just feel like there's too many hours in the day to fill with when you don't have a, like the structure of a tour is that like at 3 o'clock you're doing stuff.
Yeah.
You know, there's, but then you can still like see the world and go out. And
no, I mean, I get slightly driven crazy when we have a day off actually on the tour. Yeah. That's a problem. That's become a problem for me. But as John says, like I'll find, you know, like I don't know.
I mean, I would love to go to museums, like but part of it is I don't have like the physical energy. Like the show is kind of thrashes me.
Yeah,
and then also like, you know, the truth is like when the crew is like loading into the venue and something is super messed up, it is definitely like me and our tour manager Scott are the ones. Talking about like the super like you know tedious
right
like adult stuff like you know
and you don't have any resentment towards him
not at all
you
not
don't
all.
Think like
it's always
man.
No it's always I mean part of it is like even when we first started the band like you know when we didn't I mean even before we even had a manager I was like booking the shows and dealing with like club owners and stuff like that and trying to
there's something about that you like.
Yeah, it's like there's part of it. I mean, the challenge of it is really interesting to me. You know, sometimes it's overwhelming. I mean, like you can make it sound like it's all been foisted on you. I do think I'm really interested in like the psychology of crowds. Like, you know, I like being like the hype man of the band in part because I'm just that little bit of theater is really fascinating.
You were so funny last night.
Oh God, I felt like I was so off my game.
No, I was seriously. Like right away, like jokes. There's a funny joke, of course. It's a back pocket kind of joke, but it's like that was our thanks. That was our after the first song. Thanks for coming. Yeah. That was our. You know, that's funny.
Right.
Loosen up.
The best thing that you know cannot be reused again is for me that I thought of in the middle of the show, which I wish I had thought of at the beginning of the show. It's like up until now, this was just an exit for us.
Yeah, that was good. That was
you
really,
know, but like if we had come out and said that, then that would have been. You know.
No, it was good. It was when you said
it. No, it hit perfectly. Yeah. You do the thing about, you don't have to reveal if you don't want to, but we pulled an audible and we're actually doing it, this song that is that.
Oh, those were all audibles.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. No, we did our set in like 3/4 of the time that we normally do our set. It was just
playing
like,
faster. Yeah.
one thing I realized, like, we were definitely playing a little faster.
Were
but
you
also,
nervous to be doing the Hollywood Bowl?
Yes, we were nervous.
Super nervous.
And we normally rap have very long raps and hang out for a long
casual,
time on stage.
Like we'll have conversations and
so you were under the gun because so you were under the gun, but you're more you overestimated the amount of gun you're under.
We did a festival. We headlined a festival like a couple weeks ago and did the same number of songs in 60 minutes that we did in 45 minutes.
Wow!
Yeah,
at the
it
Hollywood
didn't feel
Bowl.
Like. Fast.
No, it wasn't bad. It wasn't. I mean, I'm sure from the audience point of view, it was totally fine. Right. But I've also come to realize, and this took me like 30 years of doing shows. I knew this from doing in stores. If I can see the people's faces, it totally messes me up.
Sure, I hate
like,
it.
And seeing like 14,000 people's yes. faces is just like
sometimes you're seeing the weird
a
thing
lot.
About the. The weird thing about the bowl is sometimes you're seeing the backs of people because people that are eating there that have decided that, there's a band up there, but I'm enjoying my mac and cheese.
Well, doing children's shows is good training for
right.
a lot of
oh,
things.
Oh, I can't. If I see the audience, I'm fixated. I become fixated on a person. And I'm watching them and saying, like, why aren't you? Are you having a good time? Do you want to get out of here?
Does it bother you if somebody you know personally is
I prefer not to see anybody I know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's bad. Good thing you didn't see Weird Al. That would have been maybe.
I saw the guy from Thelonious Monster, which I thought was, like, sort of fascinating.
I don't know
like,
who that is.
Oh, maybe. The rehab guy?
Yeah. He was, he was right in front of us.
Big hat?
Yeah, I don't know if he had a hat. But he's just a very recognizable dude.
We're going to show you a couple pictures from our experience last week.
Oh, God, cool.
Okay?
Okay.
Just a couple, and this is...
Right.
It's all good.
This is the end.
It's
good.
What do we have, Matt? Can I see them, or am I not going to be able to see them? So first we have... This is Vic. Vic did not download his ticket.
I didn't even have the app at all.
So he was trying to... you have to create an account at the Hollywood... Bowl.
It was very stressed out, but Matt knew how to treat me.
Why'd you have to get on your knees to do that?
That's because I had
what
to think
doing
hard.
What are you doing, Matt?
Sorry.
Oh, you're ruining the whole thing.
I know.
So anyways,
I know how that goes.
Yeah. he had to get his email, password sent to him.
Email, everything was not.
I don't know why he chose to kneel on the floor to do that.
Because I had to
bench right there.
2, 4.
I think you just had all day to figure out how to get those tickets.
But the whole having to download apps is like, we're going back to the original conversation. It's just hell.
Right. I was in a hotel where you had to download an app to run the washer dryer.
Oh, come on.
I was like, I'm.
Well, it's a nice hotel if you got a washer and dryer in there.
Yeah, those businessman hotels.
Like one of those efficiency hotels.
Yeah, but
right. All right, so second slide. Now, I have a question for you, Linnell.
Yes.
You got a Gatorade sponsorship that we should know about?
I have been...
Look at that.
Yeah. No, I've been struggling with heat exhaustion, and I am...
There's got to be a better place for that.
Well, ensure
fell
out.
Because that's on a big screen.
It is.
What is that thing on... Is that a rear-view mirror?
It's a rear-view mirror, yeah. We stopped at a truck stop, and I bought that for me so I could...
See the drummer.
It's really, really handy.
So
because
he can play in the endings.
When Marty does a big fill and then he's going to end, but he loves to do the dramatic pause.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody else can turn their head, but I've got to face
forward. That's really smart. Yeah. Of course, we see the chaos pad there.
Yes.
Going a little casual. Got the gray t-shirt on.
That's your fashion vibe. Sense.
And then the only other picture I think we have is
we have two more.
This is the reality of the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah.
There is a contingent of people.
Oh,
there.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
This is Listen,
can we zoom in on his hand?
Yeah, let's see what he's dealing with. So this is.
See, that looks like a pretty soft game right there.
Yeah, that's
he's got a
solitaire.
He's got a lot of wood to chop.
So,
and
this
Kim,
is during your set, by the way. I don't want to create.
That's okay. Kim Jong-il in front of him?
Yeah, it looks like Kim Jong-un.
Sure. Kim Jong-un.
Oh, that is Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
Well, he was in town for summit.
And he was paying attention.
He loves Particle Man.
If that doesn't make matters worse, next to us, this is right in front of us, next to us, another solitaire game going on.
He did not look up. He didn't look up once the entire night. He was very focused on that.
But you know what was cute?
Wow.
I'll tell you.
Wow.
I don't have a picture of this, but in front of that woman, she was next to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in front of that man, there was a woman who was getting the lyrics on her phone to every song that was being played.
That mitigates the solitary.
Yeah,
to some
she's
extent.
Full engagement.
Well, I mean, first of all, I mean, you know, they might be Giants fans, Sparks fans. You know, they're doing the Wordle every day. You know, they're getting the genius on the spelling bee. You know, it's like if they're not getting the genius on the spelling bee, they're like pissed off.
But there is this weird contingent of the Hollywood Bowl audience that's like kind of season ticket holders that kind of go.
Right.
And they're not necessarily fans.
Right.
And you're probably seeing a lot of... Because the fans are up in the cheap seats.
Well, everything about the Hollywood Bowl seems kind of mythic, right? Like, people... You tell people they're paying... Like, you know, we don't know a million West Coast people, but when you tell West Coast people in New York that you're playing at the Hollywood Bowl, they're like, oh, man.
Wow, the Beatles.
That was the first time I ever got stoned. You know? Or, like, it'll be like... I guess tons of people sneak into the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh.
Like, it's very easy to sneak in. And it's sort of like a baseball game, I guess.
Or you can watch it from technically not the seats.
And also, like, once the game starts, they kind of don't care that much. Like, so
right, just it's a
kinda,
picnic.
Yeah, so I guess, like, lots of teenagers will just sort of hang out in the perimeter of, like, way up there.
Right.
And then once the show starts, they'll kind of filter in and sneak through.
Hooray for Hollywood! And then this we also found to our right is two full bottles of salad dressing.
Ranch
brought in.
Italian. You can bring your own food in.
Oh, we have this is a video?
If you have seats. Oh, there you go.
Nice.
That's us.
Yeah.
That sounds so real.
Yeah.
You guys play to a track. You're not really playing.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Matt, we should take a damn call. Sounds, and actually, we have to take a break. Can you believe it? We've been going an hour?
Oh, don't
well, we started a couple minutes late.
Okay,
so.
Don't take a break?
Well, no. I'm saying we can take another call and then a break.
That's a good idea.
Marianne. Good friend, and they might be Giants fan.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi. Me? Hi. I'm really excited to see They Might Be Giants on Office Hours Live. This is like...
Oh, wow.
Oh, nice.
I think I'm going to,
beautifully constructed. Beautifully constructed.
Thank you. Yeah, I made one for my sister and one for me, and we brought them to your show in Vancouver in April.
Uh-huh.
And it was, you guys put on such an awesome show. It's
thank
just,
you.
Like, I've been a fan for 30
Dude,
years.
Dude, you've got a Hotshot Derby Day horse in the background.
Oh yeah.
Come on.
That's a super fan.
I was doing like rug hooking. A friend loaned me a little kit and I was like, well, I don't know what to do. So I'm on this hot chaw kick. And so yeah, I made
as we all
okay.
can be.
That, yeah.
That's insane.
That is wow, that's beautiful.
Well, you've gotten to meet your heroes. Do you have any questions for them?
Flans, I want to say your red onion relish recipe is so good. Oh my God.
So easy, right?
I mean, one suggestion, I would say in the instructions where it says prepare for flavor, you maybe want to put that in bold or.
Yeah.
Like, where do you see this? Is this in a, you have a cookbook out or what?
No,
is
we have a, mailing list. It's pretty substantial.
Robust, yeah.
The smartest thing we ever did was ask people for their email addresses before that became like a
you know,
uncool
Eric and
thing.
Eric and I had an email list for years and then we lost it somehow.
Oh no.
Yeah. It was a big, and I, at the time I kind of was like, oh, well, we're on social media, you know.
What difference could it make? Yeah.
But I think it's a big problem.
Well, if you want to share recipes, evidently the sharing the recipes is the biggest hit of our mailing list.
Really?
Yeah. Our most down, because they can now track it on the whatever, the however many people like open them up.
Yeah. I like and, cucumbers.
And right. And the truth of it is that anytime there's a recipe, it's like, opened like three times more than
really.
Wow!
Did you get the drop of Trump saying he doesn't know what the hell a blizzard is? By the way, did you hear about this?
Amazing. How's that possible?
Exactly, this man of the people. He goes into a Dairy Queen and he goes, "Let's get a blizzard." He goes, "The hell is a blizzard?"
Like, we're gonna do the blizzard.
What planet are you on? You don't know what a blizzard is.
Well, he might be from Queens. I mean, I don't know how many Dairy Queens there are in Queens. That's actually
even that has Queens in the name.
I love nuts.
That's true.
You know?
But isn't that weird? Because I think every American knows what a blizzard is, but this is not a man of the people, I believe. And I know you're Trump supporters, but...
Right. When I first got on TikTok, because of the zip code that I was in, it assumed I was a Trump supporter and sent me all this pro-Trump stuff. Like, that was my algorithm, and it was such a freak out, because it was just like, I've never been on social...
Oh, why? That was your upstate?
Yeah, yeah, in the Sullivan County. Yeah. I was like, what is this?
I love music.
Russia!
And,
China!
Yeah, I actually deleted the app and started over because I just couldn't.
You want to put Beverly Hills in
it? Yeah, sure, whatever. Whatever it takes. But I have to say, Karen, if you look up Karen videos, endless entertainment on TikTok.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
Yeah, I can watch Karen videos for like three
People
hours.
Screaming at each other.
It's like Apocalypse Now.
Get the fuck out of this world! Get the fuck out of this state! Get the state! Get the state!
There you go. All right, let's do this. Thank you, Marianne.
Thank you, Marianne. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you.
How about offering Marianne? I think this is low cost for you. Big advantage for her. Marianne gets lifetime access to your concerts. No? No deal?
It could be done. We don't play in Vancouver that often. Vancouver?
This is why it's a great deal for everybody. Because when is she going to actually cash those chips? Never, maybe. This is a good deal. I'm a deal maker, ladies and gentlemen. Marianne, if you need to get into a They Might Be Giants.
If you need money, just call They Might Be Giants. If you don't need money, call Tim.
Yes, just call me and say hello. I should start putting my home phone number on the show. I don't care. Call me up. Let's take a quick break just so we can reset the environment here, because it's starting to get a little contentious,
loose.
I think.
Loose.
Yes, Tim.
No, there's a lot of... I think there's a lot of resentment. I'm just kidding.
Email and...
All right. How are my pits? Wet?
They're dry.
Get the hell
drier than mine.
Pretty dry.
Better than usual.
Usually sopping wet. Mm. All right. We'll be right back in 2 minutes, and then we'll finish, or we'll continue our conversation with the MIP Giants.
I do not.
Join us at patreon.com/officehourslive to support the show.
At times,
I love
you're
that.
You're falling right into the mud.
Hi, this is Bill Maher, speaking to you from the undisclosed location I like to call Club Random. I'm here to tell you about a few things. First off, Office Hours has now moved to its own dedicated YouTube channel. Go subscribe now at youtube.com/officehourslive. Secondly, did you know you can get another full hour of this show and so much more with Office Hours Plus? Head on over to patreon.com/officehourslive to check that shit out. And remember, it's not pot, it's a clove cigarette.